Every one of us feels blue or down from time to time, but maybe you're going through something deeper right now and you're not sure what to do about it. Our guest today on Focus on the Family has been there. It's a remarkable story told with transparency, and I think you're going to be moved by what Pastor Tommy Nelson has to share about his journey through depression. I'm John Fuller, and our host today is Focus President and author Jim Daly. We're also joined by Dr. Julie Slattery. Now, we know that this matter of depression affects many, many people in churches and also their pastors. And with that background, let's go ahead and listen as Jim Daly sets up today's program.
When Focus on the Family constituents contact us for health advice, and especially last year, overwhelmingly, it's on the issue of depression. That was the number one health topic that people contacted us for. It topped issues like cancer, eating disorders, infertility, even heart attacks. In fact, all of those combined didn't rise to the level of the number of people that contacted us about depression. It's something many people are dealing with in the culture right now with the economy and job loss the way it has happened. Both men and women are carrying a heavy load in this area, and we're seeing it here.
Jim, I think when we think about depression, we typically picture somebody who's been through a great loss. We think of somebody who's so down they can't get out of bed. Maybe their eating and sleeping patterns have changed. But what I love about today's guest is that he presents depression as it hits us in different forms. Depression doesn't always present the same way, and he is going to give us some insight about how depression can come about in ways that you might not be anticipating.
Mm-hmm. Julie, he's been on the broadcast several times. He's a well-known author. He's known as the sex guy for his series on the Song of Solomon. Pastor Tommy Nelson has been at Denton Bible Church for more than 30 years. He's donned the new title of the Depression Guy. And in fact, Focus on the Family has published his book on that topic, and we'll give you the details a little later. Tommy, after 30 years in ministry, great success in pastoring a huge church in Denton. You're a speaker, a writer. You minister to many, many people, counsel them. Your life suddenly crashed down around you. And so let's set the stage going back to what you're doing just before the crash. Tell us what was happening.
Well, it's 2006, and my schedule is that I teach four times on Sunday, and I teach guys that are called young guns. There's usually about four of them, and I teach them all the way through the Bible. And I teach them again Tuesday morning, 5:30, Wednesday morning, 6 o'clock, and Friday morning, 6 o'clock. And then I've got a men's study at 7 o'clock with about 300 men on Tuesday, and then another men's study on Wednesday with about 300 men, and then a faculty study on Friday with about 12 men, and then the largest single study in the country on Monday night in Dallas called Metro, with about 1,500 to 2,000 folks. And then I do Song of Solomon conferences 10 times a year, where you leave on Friday, teach 3 hours, get up Saturday, teach 3 more hours, get back on a plane, get back to Denton, and then you do it again. And so that was my schedule, besides the fact that I'm writing books and curriculums, and I'm traveling and speaking at different times. And so and I'm on the board at Dallas Theological Seminary, so there's something I'm doing there. And of course, all the time I'm doing it, I'm loving everything that I'm doing, because this is what I wanted to do.
Tommy, you're talking to many of us that are perhaps just at that precipice.
Yeah.
We're running fast. What you described in terms of your daily routine, we're there.
This is the American product.
Right.
This is the American ideal. America produces these guys. And I think this is why, Jim, you talk about depression at the beginning of the program. You said that depression becoming just an inescapable thing in our country. And I had a doctor tell me that America and the 21st century is made to order for depression, that Mr. Edison turned night into day, and so we don't rest. You have your day job, and then your night is scheduled. And so we've turned day and night. In the old days, 5 o'clock hit, you went home, you had dinner, and it was dark.
Mm-hmm.
And you sat. Before Mr. Ford came, you didn't have any travel and that much recreation. And so you were intended to work, and then you're intended to rest.
Mm.
But in our days, day is night. The weekends are taken. Sunday is not a time of rest and worship. Sunday is a time of more work and more play. A doctor told me Americans turn these people out like cookie cutters that are living under constant stress always. And after a while, He said, you may have your plans, but your body has other plans. And in time, your body will shut down.
Well, and it can only go so far.
And it will go so far.
Take us to that point, though, because, again, you've got our attention. We're all running hard and fast. We're living on that adrenaline. And perhaps our moment is just in front of us in terms of our bodies crashing. What happened to you when you then realized, I've got a problem?
Well, I was having a lot of problems with sleeping because my body wouldn't rest. It just wouldn't rest. And one Sunday evening, I'm getting ready to go up and preach, and all of a sudden, my body just literally crashes. I'd never had it happen before since. I didn't know what it was. All the life kind of went out of me. All the energy went out of me. I could put my legs on my wife's lap, and she could feel the electricity in my legs. They would snap and crackle. One guy who went through it said that it felt like it was the 4th of July in his legs. And, I mean, it was this the electricity, the adrenaline. My body was in sixth gear, and it wouldn't stop.
Tom, you are a tough guy.
That's me, a tough guy.
And that's part of the reason that you got into this, was you kept saying, I can keep going. People need me. I can't let anybody down. But this was confronting in you a weakness that was probably really, really hard to admit.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't get my hand on it. I couldn't take a pill on it. I couldn't run through the pain. And so if I had had a compound fracture of the femur, I could have set it, put pins in it, and gone on. If I had had a concussion, I could have taken a little while and gone on. But when you've got the black, and incidentally, you know it's not just being discouraged, and you know it's not just being nervous or anxious. No, I've been nervous and anxious. We all have. We've all had butterflies. But this is something that is clinical. Mm-hmm. This it is something that is biological. And you know it when it hits you. Mm-hmm. And you struggle for terms to express it. There is an inner black cloud. In the old days, they just called it melancholy. But something has you, and your life, as you knew it, has ended.
Tommy, in that situation, here you are, a pastor, you know the Word of God well. You've taught different areas of Scripture your entire adult life. You had to ask God why and what's happening. Describe that exchange spiritually.
You feel like you got sucked into the vortex of Job, and you're asking those questions. Why did you shut me down? Why did you shut me down right at the height of everything that I was doing? And you start, and I'll tell you something else. There's something about an anxiety and depression, and I can't explain it. I can't tell you, but I've talked to too many people who have been through it. Whatever it is in you that gives you that, oh, what the theologians call the big squeeze, the subjectivity that you are God's, whatever it is, ain't there. And you are literally flying like a pilot by the panel. You can't see anything. You are in vertigo. And you are trusting on blind Scripture that God loves you and that He is sovereign. And everything in your emotion tells you, wants to ask the question, what have I done?
Did you have a certain fear about how those around you would react? Large church.
Well, and of course, depression and anxiety, a Christian's not supposed to have this. Christians are not supposed to have depression. They're not supposed to have anxiety. And if they do, a Christian won't talk about it. Now, if a non-Christian struggles with it, they'll do the common sense thing. They will go find a doctor or somebody, and they say, something's got a hold of me, and they will start looking at the causes of what got you there and the symptoms and how to get rid of them. Christians that are all taking medicine for everything, if you'll excuse me, they all get all rustic West Virginia on you real quick, and they're not going to go to a doctor on this. And these are the same guys that are taking every kind of medication for everything else. But Christians will just hurt in silence and tell no one. You know, when you disappear from a church pulpit like I did for 4 months because I just had to rest, you've got to come out and say what happened. Well, one of my elders got up and he said, Tommy has gone through a clinical depression and anxiety. And you know what? I ended up with 3 staff who wrote me letters talking about what they went through. And I never knew they did. I had 2 of my elders that talked to me about what they went through, and innumerable people from my church that wrote me about it. So I found out there's all kind of people that have been through it.
Right.
You mentioned a few minutes ago that you felt like you were falling into the vortex of Job.
Yes.
And the suffering that he describes physically is something that you're describing, a lot of that. But maybe what we can't quite get our hands around in Job's suffering is the isolation, which is really right. a lot of what the book is about.
Because he couldn't connect with his friends?
No, or
his wife.
Yeah. And being the person who's watching somebody that you love go through that Job-like experience and seeing their pain and trying to reach them with some word of encouragement, what is that like? What was that like for your wife as she watched you?
You know, Job, the guy that helped Job so much, of course, was Elihu. He was the guy who didn't give answers. He just said, Job, God is sovereign. And you're not having this because you're bad. And people don't not have it because they're good that they go through it. He just said, God is sovereign. And you don't know everything. And you got to trust in him. And that's the kind of friend that you need, is this just with you and doesn't try to give you answers, that just says, you know, we're going to go through this together. And my wife, I found out from one friend of mine that kind of had majored on this stuff, that a lot of marriages tank during this.
Mm-hmm. And understandably
Yeah,
so.
The mate just says, you know, this is a worser I never thought about. My wife never faltered. She sat right there, and at times she'd fuss at me. She stayed right by me. And I told her one time, I said, baby, I'm sorry. I said, you never signed on for this. I didn't know this existed. And she said, I said better for worse. And this is a worser. And so I'm here. And it wore her down, you know, of just having to always be an attendant to somebody that was always in pain.
How long are we talking?
4 months. It hit me at the end of May. It crested during June. And you just lose chronology. You don't know what day it is. And someone would tell me, this is Friday. That's always the happiest day is Friday. You know? But you know what? Friday meant nothing. Saturday morning meant nothing. But this went through June, and it was until July, mid-July, that things began to turn.
Part of God's grace in what he did with you and through Job, and you might not seem like it sounds like grace, but there was a day where it began. And you could look back and say, something happened to me on this day. And Teresa could look and say, right. There's something wrong with my husband. In many cases, it's this gradual slide into sadness and pain. And no one really notices when it started. And maybe a spouse keeps saying, there's just something wrong. I can't put my finger on it, but we're not connecting the way we used to, or you're being more irritable.
Right.
And there's never a time that you recognize that there's something seriously wrong here. I'm sure you've seen that as you've counseled people.
A lot of times they have to be told. A counselor has to tell them you have depression or anxiety because it's outside of your paradigm.
How do you even get that person to a counselor then if it's become a new normal
and
they don't recognize it?
With me, Julie, the symptoms got so bad of just my body hurting. Because on a clinical depression, the difference between just being down and discouraged is it gets physical. To where your relationships, your ability to read, your ability to function with people, your ability to get out of bed, there's something physically wrong with you. And this is when it turned, that my internist called a friend of his who was a Hindu Indian psychiatrist. Now, you talk about help from the outside. He's a Hindu. He's a pantheist. God love him. He's a pantheist. But he asked him as a psychiatrist, he said, what would you do? Because with a lot of doctors, depression, anxiety is not so much their field. It's not so much what they deal with. They deal with the body, not what goes on within the mind. And so he called his friend, and he told his friend my symptoms. And this psychiatrist said, he's garden variety.
Yeah.
And he said, I talk with him 7 times a day. And he said to my doctor friend, he said, they're all the same guys. He said, they're type A, driven. Pushing, he said, if it's any consolation to him, bums don't have this. Successful people have this. And he said, he's going to have to cut back. He's going to have to reorient his schedule. He said, tell him to keep exercising because it's a natural keeping that stuff build up. And he said, he's going to have to do something to make him sleep. And he said, take this if the symptoms spike. And he said, start taking this and it won't do anything for a month. And that's when things started turning around in July.
Tommy, I can only imagine going through this, that there were things that stood out to you, things that the Lord put in your path to point to him or point to help. Anything that sticks in your mind?
You know, I think that God, whenever we are at some point of just lowliness and pain, will communicate in ways that we're maybe not ready for him to. Out in my back porch, it's closed in with wire, and there was a hummingbird that had gotten in my back porch and couldn't get out. He got disoriented. He didn't know where the opening was. And I watched him literally bang himself into every kind of opening, trying to get out of this thing. He was panicking, and he couldn't find his way out. He was somewhere he had never been before, and he didn't know how to get out until finally he just fell exhausted. Mm. And I just held him, and he was just, his body was just vibrating, panting. He was exhausted. And I just held him and walked him over to the opening and just walked outside with him and just held him in my hand. And all of a sudden he perked up, bzz, and he took off. And somehow I just felt like, I know it sounds strange, but I just felt like it was a communique that God was saying, I know where you are. You're mixed up. You don't know where you are. You're exhausted. You've beaten yourself up. I've got you, though. Mm-hmm. And you just wait. You just wait. And I'm going to let you fly. And you're going to fly someplace you've never flown before. You just hang on. I'm going to get you out of this. And he did.
Light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, you're describing now how you're beginning to see that light at the end of the tunnel. Describe for us what that felt like, what that looked like, and how did you climb out of this cavernous hole that you'd felt emotionally?
I found a couple of things. My doctor said, you need to go to a professional, that's all he deals with. He said, I deal with it a lot, but he said that you need a specialist, and you're talking about a psychiatrist. Now, to a Christian, to an evangelical man, to go to a psychiatrist is like Saul going to the Witch of Endor. Hmm. All right. And I just knew when I walked into a psychiatrist's office that the spirit of Spurgeon was going to rise from the ground like Samuel and condemn me.
Now,
I mean
you
just
that?
Felt you just felt funny. Hmm. And so and it was a Christian guy. And I walked in and I was comforted that he was a good guy and he listened to me. And he said, you're okay. Hmm. He said, you're okay. And I gave him my schedule. And it was a funny statement. He laughed. I laugh now, but he looked at me and he goes, no wonder you're crazy. He said, I'm crazy listening to you. He said, you've got four jobs. Nobody can do this. Well, he made the statement. He said, a human being is meant to be, according to Genesis, to work, and then the sun goes down and you rest. He said, that's how God rigged us. And he said, your body has run down. He said, you've got to shut something down. And so I cut my schedule. And then I took 4 months off. And then I took a medication, and he said, it's not going to do anything for about a month. And he said, the initial week, there may be some side effects. You may feel a burning and this and that. But he said, you're okay. And somehow it makes your body realize that you're not crazy, that you're okay, that it is clinical. That was just a delight to me to know there was a cause to this effect. And so I started taking this, and I kept on working out and doing my stuff, but at least I had hope. But here's what, about, 3 weeks later, I was sitting with my wife at the kitchen table, and I'm looking at her, and all of a sudden I said to her, I'm me.
You just knew it.
She said, what do you mean? I said, I'm me. Now, this psychiatrist said, the way this stuff works is it's like jumping off a dead battery, and it's going to ring, 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 and it's going to catch, and it's going to kick in, and then you're going to have to, you can take the cables off, and you're going to be okay. But he said, it'll start building. And you know what? For all of a sudden, I could tell I was me again. There was joy. All of a sudden, I could start reading again. I could watch a television show. I could go out with my wife to eat. She was the only person I could be in the presence of. Now I could enjoy company, and then it would kind of go away, and then it would come back longer, and then it would go away for a less time and go back for a longer time, and it was just like a motor that was getting started again.
But you could feel it.
You could feel it, that there was something in you that was changing. Yeah. And after a while, all of a sudden, by October, all right, 4 months later, I was able to get back in the pulpit. And all I did was get back in the pulpit. I didn't do anything else. And then in time, I began doing my Wednesday study with men and my Tuesday study with men. And then I started the Young Guns back, but I didn't do the Song of Solomon. I gave that up. I didn't write. I gave that up. And I didn't travel. I gave that up.
So you didn't front load your schedule
no,
like you
I
had?
I did. I did. And my wife said, you need to do these other things just because you won't go crazy. But I did the things that I enjoyed doing, and I didn't schedule anything during the day. I would maybe have one appointment, and I became a normal pastor. And it got to be, my time of reading got to be more joyful. I think I became a lot better preacher. I tell you what it will do. Like Paul said, we're able to comfort those in any affliction with the comfort by which we ourselves are comforted by God. Pain gives you a PhD, where you didn't want a PhD, but you got one. And before I went through this, my nickname, I was always the, I think you mentioned I was the sex guy. You know, I did the Song of Solomon. Guys would call me with their sexual questions. Now I became the depression guy. And I, at Dallas Seminary, I shared in a seminary chapel service. Howard Hendricks, who had been there since, I want to say 1948, said it was one of the five greatest chapel services they'd ever had. And he said, I'll tell you why. Because you spoke to a need that Christians are in extreme need of, but nobody will speak to it.
Right.
A non-Christian would immediately go to a doctor or go to a psychiatrist and get medication. Christians won't do that. And here's the problem you got to watch out for, are your Christian buddies. They mean well, but they'll pull a Bildad, Eliphaz, and Zophar on you.
And what does that
They're Job's buddies, and they'll tell you, you shouldn't be having depression, and you don't need to be taking anything. Now, I don't mean to brag, but when somebody says you just need to read the Bible and memorize Scripture, I had memorized the New Testament epistles. So which epistle do you want to hear? You want to memorize Scripture? I'll give you Scripture. It can hit people, and it can take you down. And, you know, I mentioned that there were some things you needed to do. You needed to cut back your schedule. You needed to find a really competent doctor or psychiatrist that knows his stuff to be able to talk to. But then thirdly, what you need is you need a Christian who has been through this. And I had one, a guy who sat down with me and said, here's what you're feeling. And he said, I felt that. Here's what you're feeling. I felt that. And he said, you're okay. That's the way we feel. It's like being an AA. You almost got a little cult of friends you never had. And he said, I went through this, and this is how you feel. And you're going to be okay. And you just need somebody to talk you through that, to give you hope, and to know that you're not going to take a pill and fix it. You can start the process, but you get into it slow, and you get out of it slow. It takes time, and it's maddeningly slow. But if you'll take time, you'll slowly start to come out of it.
Tommy, you talked about knowing the Word as a pastor the way that you do. You look at passages like Romans 8:28, that all things work for good. Was there a time where that was hard to swallow, or did you embrace that even though you weren't feeling it? And what advice do you have for us, for those that are running this hectic life in the way that you did before correcting it? What advice do you have for people who may be questioning the Scripture or don't even know the Lord?
You know what I felt like? You remember on Dickens' Christmas Carol, the ghost of Marley,
right,
who was always restless in chains, groaning in agony? I remember saying to Teresa, I said, I am Marley's ghost. That's how I feel. I couldn't rest. I just couldn't rest. And I would lay there. Whenever I would lay down at night, I would lay there, and I would just quote Scripture continually. Everything that I could quote, all the Scriptures that I'd memorized would just go through my mind. I would just keep quoting them, hanging by faith to the fact that, God, you're doing things that I don't understand. That text that you mentioned, Julie, I've heard of you with a hearing of the ear, but now I see you, and I repent in sackcloth and ashes. I speak of things I did not know. That verse, I memorized it without trying to memorize it, because I read it and it just embedded itself. And it was funny because before this happened to me, I was studying the book of Job. And there was something in the book of Job that just seemed to say to me, get ready, get ready. And it was down to just raw theology, that you have chosen me, you have loved me, you have saved me, and there is no mistake in life. And God, you know I got to this place because I was serving you, and you're not going to forsake me, and I'm going to hang on to you, and I'm going to trust you. Are we willing in our love of God to glorify Him, that we are willing to drink any cup God gives us? And I said, God, you're going to take me through this.
Well, it tremendous perspective and a great heart of candor and transparency there from Pastor Tommy Nelson on today's Focus on the Family. And he's really shined a light, hasn't he, on the darkness of depression. And I hope he's encouraged you today by the fact that God is there and he'll carry you through those difficult times. Now, you can find more about depression and about dealing with life's challenges, as well as details about Tommy's book, Walking on Water When You Feel Like Drowning. It really does address this struggle that he's had in his life. All of those details at our website. And our program today was provided by Focus on the Family. On behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team here, thanks for listening in. I'm John Fuller, inviting you back next time when we'll once more turn our hearts toward home.